Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is July 26, 2012. It's Think and Grow Rich Thursday. My name is Paul Hutchings. I am dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. Excited to be on the line with you today. Ready to get the day rolling right with you, with your entrepreneurial spirit, with your positive, passionate voices. And I just realized that today is the grand finale of the book Think and Grow Rich. I had no idea, but today we're actually finishing out this read of Think and Grow Rich. And I love the ending here, and I'm sure you're going to love it as well. It's really quite amazing. So excited about that. We're going to jump into the science of getting rich next when we finish this read of Think and Grow Rich. So I'm really excited about that as well. That book has helped my philosophy in a major way. So be looking forward to that. And with that being said, let's jump right into the content from Dr. Napoleon Hill. Let's work on our heads. Let's work on our minds. Let's learn how to think better and make better decisions and see life with more truth as we learn this amazing information. So here we go. 57 Famous Alibis by Old Man If. People who do not succeed have one distinguishing trait in common. They know all the reasons for failure and have what they believe to be airtight alibis to explain away their own lack of achievement. Some of these alibis are clever, and a few of them are justifiable by the facts. But alibis cannot be used for money. The world wants to know only one thing. Have you achieved success? A character analyst compiled a list of the most commonly used alibis. As you read the list, examine yourself carefully and determine how many of these alibis, if any, are your own property. Remember, too, the philosophy presented in this book makes every one of these alibis obsolete. Are you ready? If I didn't have a wife and family, if I had enough pull, if I had money, if I had a good education, if I could get a job, if I had good health, if I only had time, if times were better, if other people understood me, if conditions around me were only different, if I could live my life over again, if I did not fear what they would say, if I had been given a chance, if I now had a chance, if other people didn't have it in for me, if nothing happens to stop me, if I were only younger, if I could only do what I want, if I had been born rich, if I could meet the right people, if I had the talent that some people have, if I dared assert myself, if I had only embraced past opportunities, if people didn't get on my nerves, if I didn't have to keep house and look after the children, if I could save some money, if the boss only appreciated me, if I only had somebody to help me, if my family understood me, if I lived in a big city, if I could just get started, if I were only free, if I had the personality of some people, if I were not so fat, if my talents were known, if I could just get a break, if I could only get out of debt, if I hadn't failed, if I only knew how, if everybody didn't oppose me, if I didn't have so many worries, if I could marry the right person, if people weren't so dumb, if my family were not so extravagant, if I were sure of myself, if luck were not against me, if I had not been born under the wrong star, if it were true that what is to be will be, if I did not have to work so hard, if I hadn't lost my money, if I lived in a different neighborhood, if I didn't have a past, if I only had a business of my own, if other people would only listen to me, if, and this is the greatest of them all, I had the courage to see myself as I really am, I would find out what is wrong with me and correct it. Then I might have a chance to profit by my mistakes. and learn something from the experience of others. For I would know that there is something wrong with me, or I would now be where I would have been if I had spent more time analyzing my weaknesses and less time building alibis to cover them. Building alibis with which to explain away failure is a national pastime. The habit is as old as the human race and is fatal to success. Why do people cling to their pet alibis? The answer is obvious. They defend their alibis because they create them. A man's alibi is the child of his own imagination. It is human nature to defend one's own brainchild. Building alibis is a deeply rooted habit. Habits are difficult to break, especially when they provide justification for something we do. Plato had this truth in mind when he said, "The first and best victory is to conquer self." To be conquered by self is, of all things, the most shameful and vile. Another philosopher had the same thought in mind when he said, "It was a great surprise to me when I discovered that most of the ugliness I saw in others was but a reflection of my own nature." "It has always been a mystery to me," said Albert Hubbard, "why people spend so much time deliberately fooling themselves by creating alibis to cover their weaknesses. If used differently, this same time would be sufficient to cure the weakness, then no alibis would be needed. In parting, I would remind you that life is a checkerboard, and the player opposite you is time. If you hesitate before moving, or neglect to move promptly, your men will be wiped off the board by time. You are playing against a partner who will not tolerate indecision. Previously, you may have had a logical excuse for not having forced life to come through with whatever you asked, but that alibi is now obsolete, because you are in possession of the master key that unlocks the door to life's bountiful riches. The master key is intangible, but it is powerful. It is the privilege of creating, in your own mind, a burning desire for a definite form of riches. There is no penalty for the use of the key, but there is a price you must pay if you do not use it. The price is failure. There is a reward of stupendous proportions if you put the key to use. It is the satisfaction that comes to all who conquer self and force life to pay whatever is asked. The reward is worthy of your effort. Will you make the start and be convinced? If we are related, said the immortal Emerson, we shall meet. In closing, may I borrow his thought and say, if we are related, we have, through these pages, met. And my friends, I do believe that Napoleon Hill and I have met through these pages over the last couple of years as I have been a student, a grateful, diligent practitioner, endeavoring always to better apply these principles that Dr. Napoleon Hill has taught me and continues to teach me. And I do believe I have met this man, and I fancy that he looks down from wherever he's at this point in time, and he looks at this call that we do on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, and I fancy he gets a big smile on his face as he realizes that, you know, he's impacted people all over the world, but there's also a group of entrepreneurs, 100 in number, sometimes more, that get together on a daily basis to study the information that he took 25 years of his life to accumulate and to organize and to put down in this most amazing book. And so as we finish this particular read of Think and Grow Rich, I think it would be appropriate for us today as we go through our mastermind discussion to, you know, not just, I mean, yes, let's talk a little bit about the content we went through today, but, you know, if this time through the book has changed you in some way, if you've had a big aha moment, if you have had something inside of you change due to some new information or maybe a new perspective you've received or maybe just shining some new light on some information you've gone through in this book before, I'd love to hear it. And so would everyone on the call. Would love to hear your personal experience of maybe, you know, what you've gotten out of this book through this read that's changed your life and helped you to move forward in a more positive way. So excited to hear the discussion, my friends. Let me open up the lines here. Star 6 to unmute your line. Love to hear from you today.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Melvin.
Just a couple of quick ones. I just wanted to say that the part that you just read is so great because we are all so good at making excuses because we've been doing it, you know, pretty much all our lives. And so it's a dangerous, trap to fall into. But one of the things I'm sure we all heard before that can all serve us well is to remember that you can't make money and excuses at the same time. So realize that if you're not making the kind of money that you want to make, then evidently you're making excuses instead. You can't do both of them. And the other a little short story is about the woman who got into the business, and the reason that she became so successful in the business is because she had 10 children. And there was another one who got into the business, and the reason that there's no way she could do the business was because she had 10 children. And so when you think about it, the situation is one and the same. So it has nothing to do with the 10 children. It has to do with one's attitude and outlook. But great book. All I can say about it is that the fact that I got started with this book many, many years ago, and it's the best book that I know of, to be honest with you. It's great to get back into it and always dust it off and get back into it again and refresh yourself. So with that, back to you, Paul.
Melvin, I love those thoughts, and I love how you are a lifelong student and practitioner of this philosophy, and I love what you shared. You can't make money and excuses at the same time. So true. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, this is Jay. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Really quickly, I just wanted to add that, I'm driving, so I kind of lost my train of thought. I apologize. On when we go through the different experiences in life, and you know, we allow sometimes different things to affect our lives, but in coming to this call every day, it helps you hold yourself accountable. You don't have to, like you said, you can't lie to yourself. So it holds yourself accountable, knowing that this is going to help you, knowing that this is going to, eventually change your life and the life of, the people around you. So, it's just, we have to hold ourselves accountable, and this call has definitely helped me to stay on a different path than, some of the other businesses that I've been involved with. And, not so to say failed, but didn't continue with. And, that with a call like this, we see the friends, we see the families, we hear people's stories that, they wouldn't have told, just anyone. And we know that we have a strong bond. We know we have a strong connection. So, with this call affecting so many people and, attracting so many different, lifestyles and so many different ethnicities and, just different things. So, for me, this call has tremendously changed my life and gave me a better path to follow in my newest, I should say, business adventure. Back to you, Paul.
James, thank you for that. Love those thoughts. Let me just...
Okay.
appreciate that, James. Really appreciate that. And I appreciate your testimony, and I love what you shared yesterday. With no test, there can be no testimony. James, you're a wise man. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of our community. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul. Good morning, everyone. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Doc.
I'm racing to get to the airport here, so I'm just going to be real quick. I always love this part of the book when we get to the ifs. And we all know the famous one, if wishes were beggars, horses would ride. Or if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. But my very favorite if is not on that list. And it's because, you know, Napoleon was about 60 years too early. But if I were Richard Branson, I'd already be a billionaire. Back to you, Paul.
Oh, that's funny, Doc. Good stuff. Appreciate that. And I shared at the end of the call yesterday a line from Doc Fran, and it's very appropriate to repeat it, especially considering today's topic. All excuses are equal. All excuses are equal. Well, no. Surely someone has some, you know, heavier life circumstances than another. All excuses are equal. Think about that. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul. This is Frank from Delaware.
Hey, Frank. Good morning.
Good morning. To me, the word if is related to the word try. And because people say, I tried this, but if I could have had this, you know, then it would have been, I would have made it. Or any kind of phrase they can come up with. But from the wise words of Yoda, who I'm going to quote right now, he says, try not. Do or do not do. There is no try. So we have to just convince ourselves, and this morning phone call actually does it for us. We have to convince ourselves that there is no try. There is no if. We have to just do it. That's it. Thank you very much, Paul.
Amen, Frank. Love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love hearing from you every day, my friend. Star 6, who's next? Do or do not, there is no try. Any other thoughts? Come on, folks, come on out. Anyone believe in alibis? Anyone believe in creating excuses? Love to hear it. Star 6, come on out.
Paul, this is Joy.
Hey, Joy. Happy
How
Joy,
you doing?
Joy.
I just want to let everybody know that I'm guilty as charged, but I'm still in the game, and I'm working on those excuses to get rid of them. That's my input.
Joy, thank you. Thank you. I've been guilty. I am guilty at times. I think we're all guilty at times. And it takes courage to say that. Because just like Napoleon said, if I had the courage to see myself as I really am and not delude myself, that's where we really start to empower ourselves. So, Joy, thank you for that. I love you, and thank you for being here. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, it's Marco from Jensen Beach, Florida.
Hey, Marco. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm one of the folks that I've heard say this so many times, but what the call and the book has meant to me this time around is it's put a fire back in my belly. I spent the last year kind of searching for what was next for me in my business life and remembering so many principles that I've heard through the years and ignored so many times. And facing some of my own demons by the reading and your reading each morning and other folks' comments. So what it means to me is that even though I'm not, I don't have the fire I had in my 30s, which sometimes I miss, I do have more purpose. I am having more fun, and people are noticing that. So I'm very, very thankful for this community. And that's it. Back to you.
Marco, thank you, my friend. you just put a big smile on my face as I was listening to you. I just love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Star six, who's next? Anyone else had any differences come into their lives through this past study of Think and Grow Rich? I'll tell you one that I had, and you probably already all know it, just the other day where I learned a new empowering belief for myself, and that is where Napoleon Hill taught us that nothing that life has to offer is worth the price of worry. I've been saying that to myself lately, and I've been thinking to myself, is that true? I mean, is that really true that nothing that life has to offer is worth the price of worry? And being able to shed that fear and that confusion and that worry that sometimes comes over us, that's been a life-changing insight for me through this past study of Think and Grow Rich. Star six, who's next?
Paul, it's Anita Young.
Hey, Anita, good morning.
Good morning. And I love this thing about the worrying, you know, because an older lady told me worrying was a lack of faith, and I have tried to put that into practice many, many years, and I'm always, you know, you forget, and you take it back, and then you go, oh, I can't worry about that, you know. I have faith, and I know that everything's going to be okay. And I'm like, I'm guilty with Judy, you know. It's like there are so many things on the list. I'm like, I'm guilty. But Judy, you know what, you're in good company because we're all guilty. But anyway, and I have just loved the Think and Grow Rich and the family that we've had out there and all the support. And I just love everybody on the line and you, Paul, especially, for getting up every morning and having this call for us. Back to you.
Thanks, Anita. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Bill Wins here.
Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. I've learned through this call is always keep your eye on the prize because it's so easy to get distracted by all the different opportunities that are out there and always look so good and things are always like back to the if thing. If you'd only started this, if you'd only started that, sometimes you wonder, gee, did I do the right thing? But I've learned to keep my eyes on the prize and stick with the people who really care because that's really what it's all about. You can get involved in any opportunity out there, but it's always promising that quick dollar, the quick dollar. But I've learned to, if once you decide what you want to do, to keep your eye on the prize, always be consistent, and don't get distracted. And be with the people who care the most. Back to you, Paul.
Powerful, Bill. Powerful lessons. Thank you.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
This is Dolores up in Maine.
Hey, Dolores.
I just wanted to add,
there
is no excuses, no ifs. There is only the truth. And the truth is that sometimes we just don't have it in us to do it for that day. It's not every day, but once in a while, you just got to walk away and relax and refresh yourself and come back and start over. Back to you.
Very true and very wise, Dolores. Very wise. I heard Doc Fran just the other day told me, he said, you know, he goes, Paul, if you ever get in a situation where you know, it's just too much and too stressful and you're not having fun, you know, just get up, leave, walk outside, go for a walk, or go sit out in the middle of a field somewhere and just clear up. And Dolores, what you just said is so true. Some days you just gotta take a break. Star six, who's next?
Paul, it's Elise from Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning, Elise.
Good morning. I just sit here every morning, and if you took your just trying to prosper out of it, Paul, you are teaching grace of soul, honest to goodness. You are changing by just listen to everyone, everyone's life. We are all born with a divine right for prosperity, and we forget it. And I call it grace of soul when we remember it, and that's what you are teaching every morning. And I am so incredibly grateful because you are indeed changing my life. Thank you so much, and back to you.
Elise, I really, truly appreciate those comments and those thoughts, and the beautiful thing is I'm just relaying information that was given to me, you know, from Dr. Napoleon Hill and other great people. So that's the beautiful thing, is we can all do what we're doing here for each other on this call for other people throughout our lives. It's simply a matter of learning, applying, and teaching. Learning, applying, and teaching. I love it. It is amazing. Thank you, Elise. I really appreciate those comments. Star 6, who's next?
Paul?
Yes.
This is Jetty from Florida.
Hi, Jetty.
How are you?
Excellent. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. My comment this morning is decisions. If we make good decisions, usually my first decision is right. It usually comes from the gut. And you make good decisions, that will help take care of the if in our lives. We don't worry so much about the ifs if we know we've got a good decision has been made. That helps me, and that has really come through in these calls with you, Paul. And I do appreciate all the comments that I've heard. It's really encouraging, and I'm going to be fine. Now back to you, Paul.
You are fine, my friend. I love hearing your voice. Thanks for being here. Great thoughts and comments. Star 6 is next.
John in Maryland.
John, good morning.
How are you today?
Excellent, my friend. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Just to share a brief, I had been in a bad relationship where I had reached a point I had to give an eviction notice to this woman and her 5 kids to get out of my house. And my parents, my wonderful, gracious parents, have been allowing me to stay with them only 2 miles away, which has been great. But they're the biggest, worst naysayers I've ever lived with. And probably the last 6 weeks I've done next to nothing with the business because I didn't want to hear the naysaying. And the all excuses are equal quote the other day really hit home. And I finally sat my dad down and told him that...
Hey, John, let me stop you. If you're not speaking, Star 6 at the little... John, just you, Star 6, and unmute your line.
Are we good?
We're good, yes.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yep.
All right, not a problem. So anyway, I finally talked to my dad and said, look, I'm doing this business. I'm going to make it happen. And he finally said, well, I hope you make some money. And I don't know if it's a blessing or support, but at least the naysaying is going to stop, and now I can go forward. So thank you for that quote, that whatever, it woke me up, and thank you for the calls every day. I do get on the calls every day that's conceivably possible. And the support from you, Paul and Todd, has been wonderful, and here we go forth in this wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Back awesome, you. John. Thank you. Thank you for that. Star 6, who's next? Put a fire back in my belly, says Marco from Florida. Remembered so many principles that he's heard through the years, but somehow, you know, forgotten a little bit. Facing is some of his own demons. Powerful. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning. This is Judy from Florida.
Judy, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I haven't got this book in 28 years about, and what this has done for me is it keeps me coming back. Yeah, I've heard some good things this morning, when I wish somebody a good day and they say they'll try, I smile and say, don't try, just do. And they go, oh, okay. It's like somebody gave them permission to do that. I don't try, I just do. And when I don't do, it's no one's fault but my own. One of the things that I have realized going through this book is how much I have grown as a human being in the last 30 years, you know, and that I do and things that I haven't learned to do yet or apply into my life. I've taken the word if out of my life. I've taken the word but out of my life. I've taken the word try out of my life. They're not in my vocabulary. They're not in my thoughts. but there are things that I see that I do, and because I keep coming back, you know, and one thing I've learned is when you find a group of winners to keep coming back, it gives me areas to work on and to improve on. And I, you know, I may be well seasoned, but I believe I got another 30 years. And so what am I going to do in the next 30 years? And I look forward to it with new growth, new wealth, new insight, new maturity. And because I've gone through this book in its entirety for the first time in all these decades, I have a new lease on life, and that's what it's done for me. You know, in all the questions that we went through yesterday, I wasn't on the call. I had an appointment, but I listened to it afterwards. And one of the questions was, you know, why do you, if you leave yourself in situations, why? And I don't. I just pack up and I leave. And it was last year I went camping with some friends here. I was down in Florida for a visit, and it was too negative. And so what I did is I got up, I got a bus ticket, and I took off. I don't leave myself in situations. I know how not to do that. Now I'm learning to improve my situation in a better light, in a better format. And so I'm excited. I am just truly, truly excited. Excited to put one foot in front of the other. And that's what going through this book is doing for me. That's what getting on these calls is doing for me. Is I'm excited to put one foot in front of the other and to grow. And I, it's not anything I've done. It's everything that you and my family have done, my family of callers and the regulars. So I wanted to throw that out there and say thank you. And I love you all. Back to you.
Judy, thank you. When you find a group of winners, keep coming back. Profound wisdom right there. And I also loved how you shared that this time through the book, you're realizing how much you've grown. And it is important to, you know, look at our weaknesses and find out where we can improve. But I've noticed that as I go back through this book, just like you, Judy, the more we study, the more we apply, the more we keep coming back, we do notice that, by golly, I did get better. I did improve here. Isn't that amazing? I did get better. And that is so refreshing to know that we are making progress. Thank you for pointing that out. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, Todd Young.
Good morning, Todd Young.
Good morning. Good morning to everybody. Just absolutely love this book. And every time I go through it, it just seems like it's the first time. And it is so amazing that, you know, you do get better. You get better. Every time you read the book and you apply the principles, you get better. And it makes you want to read it again. It makes you want to apply all the principles in all the chapters again and again and again. It even tells you in the book that you're going to just love picking this book up again. Can't wait to read it again so you can determine where you've been and to see where you've gone just reading it the next time, and just can't wait for you to read it again. You know, this book really has become part of my psyche. It's part of my lifestyle. Because it is such a powerful book that leads to pretty much everything in life. You know, what your mind can conceive and believe your mind can achieve. What a powerful statement. And this entire book is, as Doc Fran says, is a recipe. Just like baking a cake, a set of instructions that you get for putting something together during Christmas for your kids. You know, what do? We throw the directions down. And we try to put it together ourselves. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and you put something together three quarters of the way through it, and you figure you got three or four bolts left or a piece that you wind up having to take that toy apart to go back to step number one or two. And our life is like that. And you know, our brain, you know, one of the chapters here talking about how our brain is a receiving and sending station, you know, worry creates reasons and excuses, which really are, they're not irrelevant in our life, but they're the formula for not doing and not taking action. You know, worry gives way to anxiety or unease. And, you know, has your mind just dwell on difficulty or troubles. You know, it's a state of anxiety, you know, which is a really a horrible way to be. Excuses is an attempt to lessen the blame, you know, to justify why we're not doing, why we're not taking action. And I think that our brains, you know, I know my brain was like this when I was younger, to not do things, you know. And I think that the human mind just naturally goes towards that negativity and in our life just so we don't have to do things. Look at how many people call out work, and that's why you're only allowed to have so many days at work off, because your employer knows that, you know, if they gave you as many days off as you wanted to, you probably wouldn't even come to work every day. And working out of our homes and being in home-based business, I mean, we are accountable to ourselves, and that's why so many people fail, because it's so easy to make an excuse or a reason why you don't want to do something. It's difficult to get up. It's difficult to go work out and go get on the treadmill at 7 o'clock in the morning and work your body out and get in shape. It's hard to do the same thing to your mind. You know, when we say, you know, how would I feel if, you know, if is a condition. It can be a condition that is positive, or it can be a condition that's negative. We don't need to say how would I feel if I didn't have money, because there was a point in time in all of our lives where we didn't have money. How would I feel if I had time freedom? How would I feel if I had financial freedom? Being on these calls, hanging around positive, motivated people, hanging around people that are wealthy in life, financially and otherwise, helps you to feel how it would be to be wealthy, regardless of whether you are financially yourself or not. How do you feel when you sometimes go over someone's home that has a nice home and a four-car garage and cars out into the driveway? Do you feel jealous, or do you feel, hey, I want this stuff? See, it's easy to feel jealous, because that's a natural human emotion when you see other people have things that you don't have. Me personally, I felt like that a little bit when I was younger, but it didn't last long, because I had a little bit of taste of what money was in my early 20s, and I saw what that did for myself, and I saw what it did for other people. And so, you know, it's just the constant repetition of reading this book and getting just a little bit better every time. And this isn't a book that at the very first time I read it, I thought to myself, you know, wow, I can't wait to pick this book up again. I don't think that happened probably until about the 10th time that I read it. And then it just clicked to me, because I noticed that I was a little bit better. And then I read it again, and it wasn't that every single one of these chapters, I was better at every single one of these chapters. It's when I read the book, it was almost like I just picked out one thing that was in the book. And then I read it again, and I just picked out maybe one or two other things that I got a little bit better. And that little bit better made me more confident and in my actions and what I did on a daily basis and the way I controlled my mind, which made me more money, which gave me more confidence. And so it's a really – reading this book is actually a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's why it's important to read it over and over and over, because it helps you to get rid of worry. Hanging around people on this call daily helps you to get rid of worry and get rid of excuses and to take action in your life. And, you know, when you notice that these things that Dr. Napoleon Hill talks about in this book, hey, they happen to us all. It happens to wealthy people. I mean, you know, it's not like wealthy people don't worry. Of course they do. I mean, things happen in life. Life happens to us all. Although we have the power to not let that worry make us unhappy. We have the power to not let that worry help create excuses. And for us to say, hey, you know what? Today is a bad day. You know, walk away for a day. Go relax, go watch a movie, go do something, but you don't quit. You don't quit and you say, hey, listen, always me, because that turns into a bad habit. And worrying is a bad habit. Making excuses is a horrible habit. And I have family members that are great at making excuses, and they worry all the time. And it's amazing how they have ill health, and they have a lot of negative things that are attracted from the formless substance into their life. And when you create these habits, these negative habits, you just start manifesting bad things that come into your life, and it's just a snowball effect. And so is the opposite, that when you get rid of worry in your life and you stop making excuses, I have found that the positive formless substance comes into your life, and that is a snowball effect as well. And that takes practice over and over and over. And that is what I've done in my life to manifest great things happening in my life. I'm constantly grateful for whatever it is that I have. I'm grateful that I know that I have the power to use my mind to create any destiny that I want to happen into my life. And I will also tell you that regardless of what I've gone through in my life, being on this phone call with every single one of you helps all that to happen. Paul, back to you.
Todd, beautiful words, my friend. Thank you so very much for sharing your wisdom, knowledge, experience, passion for life with us. I really appreciate you being here every day, my friend. Star 6, who's next? We have
good
the power.
Good morning, my friend. Paul, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
Rick Martin, I'm doing so good, and I'm so glad to hear your voice. Can't wait to hear what you have to say today, my friend.
I really love what Todd had to say. And this is a subject, you know, it's really dear to my heart. And it's one of the reasons why I started doing what I'm doing, because I see history with a 180. And I call Napoleon Hill, I adopted him as my uncle. Napoleon Hill, Uncle Napoleon, I call him. Another uncle I will call is Dale Carnegie, and I fell in love also with Thomas Carlyle and Sir William Osler. Mr. Osler, I'll give you a story about William Osler. Was in Toronto, and he was studying to become a doctor. He was worried whether he was going to pass the final exam, worried how he's going to build a practice, until he picked up a book in 1871 and read 21 words from Thomas Carlyle. And these words I've written before, they belonged to them at this time, but now it belongs to us. And it's so important, I want you to take a look real good at this, okay? Overlook my accent and all that and listen to the words, because they're so important. 21 words. Thomas Carlyle became the number one guy in the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He was knighted by the Queen of England. And so, here's the 21 words. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. It is so important. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. What are you doing today to get you closer to the way you want to feel every day? You don't make it all about money. I'm telling you, it's so important that this call alone, the amount of joy you can get out of this call, most people don't even get that in their lifetime. The other Napoleon on St. Helena said, he's never known 6 happy days in his life. This guy wielded more power than anybody else during his time. Had more money, everything, the conventional power, but never knew. He said this on Mount St. Helena. I never knew 6 happy days in my life. That is sad. This is a guy who was revered, feared by the greatest warrior, leader ever. And here you have a woman who was deaf, dumb, and blind. Thanks to Annie Sullivan and her patient, became life is so happy. These are the words out of a woman's mouth. But cannot see, but cannot hear, and cannot speak in a conventional manner. Somebody who developed at a young age, I think she was about 7 or 8 when she developed over 60 different methods. You see the adversity, the afflictions that she had, you can call them worries for us today, but those afflictions is where her creativity came out. If you don't have troubles, you're not going to seek to create and utilize your mind inch by inch, growing every day. That's where the bliss comes from. When you're growing, when you see progress, when you know that you're developing these new lands, that's what's happening to Todd. He said he read this book over 70 times. What's happening is developing new lands so he can see the stuff. He's developing those macro lens so he can see on the line. He can see the world. He's starting to see the world as it really is. That's what's happening. And then when you start to apply things in your life, you start to do things, that's where the glory comes in. That's where the glory comes in, and you start to look around. You start to have this calmness about you. I don't know. If you've been on this call any amount of time for 2 months, 3 months, you got to be feeling something that's happened, a certain amount of calmness about you. Not arrogance, but you start to feel and see things. You're more comfortable with people around you because you get a better understanding. You can see more clearly. You have a microscopic view. You're starting to develop a microscopic view and say, what's on the line? What's happening? Now you can see down there, and, well, even though you don't like it, you know what's happening. You come to accept what's happening. Accept what it is. Like William then says when he gave that address, be willing to have it so. Acceptance is the first thing. A problem comes up, what is the problem? What is the worst that can happen? Once you know it, you get the facts, you gather the facts about it. No one can make an intelligent decision. No one. Einstein, you, me, no one can make an intelligent decision. The United States government cannot until they have the facts. And that's the only time we're worried about something. If you know the facts about something, you don't worry because you cannot change it. But you can see what the words are. You can start to develop action and try to reduce the words. That's what we do. Without adversity, we don't create anything. That's where it comes from. We've got to remember this. That makes the difference between the human being and the brute, is our ability to create. And so if we don't have adversity, we will never create anything. That's basically what it is. We need this. Gravity, friction, challenges. And that's where we shine, overcoming. I like to repeat this one, and I'm going to get off the line. I like to repeat the one with the doctor, the physician, Roger Bannister. I love this one because it was taught for years, centuries maybe, that the human couldn't run the mile faster than 4 minutes. That one is so important because it was deeply embedded into us. And when somebody saw he did it, he visualized it, my friends. That's what's important, that visualization. See yourself. See yourself in the future. And I'm not saying to spend all your time looking over the horizon, but see yourself. See the image of yourself. See and believe that you deserve. Action will come. Because eventually you're going to start to believe a lie, if I can put it bluntly. Because you can. That's how it happens. That's how the buildings are made. It's a lie until we put it into action. And you follow that blueprint, you know. There's a carpenter's rule, measure twice. You know, it's so important. See yourself in the future and believe it. And that's where obviously your faith comes in. You know this. And persistence is the same thing as faith. Well, Paul, you know this. We listen to the same type of audio. We understand that if you didn't have faith, it would never persist. I listen to these audios every day. In my ears, they don't stop. You know why? Because I believe. I believe through the faith and seeing others that it can work for me. And that's why I move on. friends, I want you to really enjoy your day today because it's the only day we have. Make the best of it today. It's the best thing you can do to prepare you for tomorrow. We're already in the future, right now. How do you want to feel? You can decide. You can decide how you want to feel. But it is a decision, really and truly, how you want to feel right now. I'm special. You have to let you know, I am special. I deserve the best life I have to offer, and believe it. See yourself while you say that. Right back to you, Paul. Good morning.
That is a man with passion, Rick Martin. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, this is Arnold from Washington.
Hey, Arnold, good morning.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. How are you?
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for this call and for all these wonderful thoughts this morning. I just had a thought myself. I thought I'd jump out and share it real quick. It's interesting how there's so many different tools that can be used to attack a person's faith. I mean, there's lies and deception, all these different things to keep you from, you know, to turn away from your faith and move away from that. And, you know, it's interesting, the forces of evil of this world, if they want to deceive somebody, they'll take a truth and wrap it in half of a lie to get you to do something that you ought not be doing. And I would say an excuse is nothing more than a lie that we wrap in a half truth to justify us not, you know, to not do something that we ought to be doing. And so in doing so, we deceive ourselves out of receiving the blessings that life has to offer us. So that's kind of what I got out of this, and just kind of looking at that, some thoughts I had on that, and that's all I wanted to share. I'll turn it back over to you.
Wow, Arnold, thank you. Thank you, thank you. An excuse is nothing more than a lie that we wrap in a half-truth to justify not doing something that we ought to be doing. That is powerful. Melvin, yeah, go ahead.
What he just stated is so beautiful, and if we understand that and understand how we deceive ourselves, we actually lie to ourselves, and it's so convincing we even believe our own lie, you know, and it ties into very much what he just stated in terms of how we wrap it with a certain amount of truth, and that way we're able to digest it, but it's still self-deception. Back to you, Paul.
It's like eating a rotten hot dog, wrapping it in a nice, you know, looking fresh bun. You know, we take this rotten hot dog that's been sitting out for days and days and days, and we put it in a bun, and then we put some ketchup and mustard on it to try to hide it. And then we eat it, but it's still rotten. It's still rotten. I love that. An excuse is nothing more than a lie that we wrap in a half-truth to justify not doing something that we ought to be doing. Arnold, that is beautiful. Wow, thank you. And so true, Melvin. Star 6, who's next? Don't eat that rotten hot dog, my friends. Don't eat it. It's disgusting. You don't want it in your belly.
Hi, Paul. This is Frank from Delaware again.
Hey, Frank. Good morning. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I have been guilty of being an if man in the past. And for many years, actually, and it's kind of an eye opener. This call this morning, that really, you know, I saw myself in some of those lines, and I know that when I comment, sometimes I make a good comment on the call, and it sounds like, you know, I've been doing this all along, but I really haven't. It's just an insight that I get from this call. From this morning call, and that's why, if we want to continue to improve ourselves, we have to continue on these morning calls, because this is what's keeping me in this business is the morning calls and the insights that other people have, like Arnold and Melvin and Todd and yourself and Doc Fran, of course. That's the only thing that keeps me going is this kind of call, and it'll keep me doing what I have to do to make it eventually. Back to you, Paul.
Frank, thank you. I love what you shared. this call keeps me in the business, keeps me moving forward, you know, reminding myself daily, keeping my eye on the prize, like Bill Winch said. Same, I feel the same. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, it's Dana in Arizona.
Hey, Dana, good morning.
Good morning to you. You know, I want to kind of piggyback on what Todd was talking about earlier. And when he was younger, you have a tendency to procrastinate. And I think there's a life lesson there, because you think you've got a lot of time left in your life, and so you don't need to immediately address that issue. But what it does is it creates an attitude and a norm for your mind when you're younger, and it's really hard when you get older to break the pattern that you put yourself into by procrastinating. And I was reading the Bible the other day, and a couple of things popped out. I mean, it was actually in regards to the call yesterday, is in Proverbs it says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And there's another statement in Luke chapter 6 that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we do with this call every day is that we try to change the abundance that is in our heart, and try to find things during the day that change what we are actually putting into our minds. And, you know, there's something that I've studied for many years, but I've never really understood it. I don't know if it can be understood, but there is a correlation between the mind and the heart. And what Napoleon Hill talks about is not only coming from the mind, but coming from the heart, that desire that we're going to have. But if we're feeding the wrong desires, we're going to be taken in the wrong direction. And so the purpose of this call for me every morning, and I know it's been stated by so many other people, is that it allows us to change the abundance that is in our heart and gets us in a positive mode so that we can address and fight off these issues that are constantly on our case so that we can move forward and be successful. And, you know, every day we can point at successes and failures that we've had in our lives. We've got to learn from the failures. We've got to push toward the successes and hopefully get more of those. And one of the things I respect about Todd, and I don't know the man from Adam, but he's got a track record. And, you know, when he was talking about going to somebody's house and seeing the success exhibited by the house and the cars, et cetera, that's the way I look at Todd, you know. The guy's has a track record for 20-plus years in the businesses, and he's developed an attitude, and a peace and a calm has come over him. And so as we get on this call every day, we're influenced by those kinds of attitudes, and they really have a tendency to offset the negative influences that we're going to come into on a daily basis. But I just think it's so important to remember that as we think in our heart, so are we, and that out of the abundance of that heart, we are going to speak. So I want the abundance in my heart to be one of success, one of positivity, if that's a word, and so that people's lives are being changed around me because of that. And so back to you.
Dana, thank you so much, my friend. Very wise comments, and I feel as you do. I want what you want. Just so profound. As you think in your heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Very true. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, what did you... This is Judy from North Dakota.
Yeah.
What did you say the new book was that we're going to start reading?
It's called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles.
Ah, okay. I want you to know that I have appreciated listening to these calls every day, and I have been so impressed by people in so many parts of the country and with the wisdom that comes from the mouths and the hearts of each one of these individuals. I would have missed Melvin this morning. I love listening to him. And I have been so encouraged by this book. Now I have to start at the beginning where I didn't begin before, because I started like, I don't know, maybe five chapters before the end. And I want to thank you, too, for the encouragement that you give every day. You have such, it's like there are bubbles coming out from inside of you. You are incredibly infectious with what you have to say. Appreciate whatever you do. And I certainly hope that all of you who are going to Vegas will learn and grow from each other. I'm sure you will. Thank you very much. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, my friend. Love what you've just heard. Love it. Love all of it. I do love all of it. Wisdom, experience, knowledge, light coming through the line, changing my soul, changing my character. It's happening for us, folks. I love this call. I love each of you. We're doing good things in the world, my friends. We truly, truly are. I did want to just recap on one point that was brought out. Todd mentioned it, and he talked about repetition and repetition and repetition and repetition and reading the book and reading the book and reading the book. That's one of the things that I learned through this study of this book, Think and Grow Rich, this last time. And it came out through a discussion that we had while we were going through this book, and that is, don't just read it and move on. You got to read it and read it and read it. You got to listen and listen and listen until you start applying what you're learning. That is a key to major life change, my friends. Major life change. Don't just read the book and throw it aside. Read it and read it and study it and study it and apply it and apply it. Same with any audio program you're listening to. Listen, listen, listen. Even when you think you got it, listen again to make sure that you did get it. Because sometimes we think we got it and we really don't got it, you know. So we got to listen again. So another key lesson that I've learned. I do love you. Let's get out there, make it a great day. Let's have faith. Let's keep our eye on the prize, like Bill Winch pointed out. Let's repeat our major definite purpose. Let's know where we're going. Let's know why we're here. Let's take action. And let us never, ever, ever, ever give up on our dreams, my friends, because hope is something that we cannot do without. So let's get out there and make it a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Take care, everyone.